All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed. We are picking up Chaf Tassim, a base 29b, and we are picking up six lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Anan. Shabbos, say our shir this morning, our shirman this month, dedicated by Uncle Mike Holtzman, our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, in honor of the members of the shir. And with that, let's begin. Shabbos, we ended off yesterday with a discussion regarding a fundamental machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, regarding real estate transactions that occur during the Shemitah, during the Yovel year. Everyone agrees, of course, that halacha lemaisa, real estate reverts back to its original owner over the course of the Yovel year. So what happens if you end up selling property during the Yovel year itself? So that Rav said the halacha is the transaction works, it just automatically reverses. Shmuel says it doesn't work at all. Okay? Shmuel doesn't work at all. Shmuel says, so now the Gemara is continuing on that discussion. So, Amar Rav Anan, Shamas Mina Demar Shmuel Tarti. There are two things that we learn out from Shmuel. Chadach, one was this discussion we're having above, namely that according to Shmuel, real estate transactions during the Yovel year, don't work at all. The Idach, and the second one is as follows. Hamocher avdo le'ovid kochavim o b'chutz la'aretz. We'll say if somebody sells his slave, you sell your eved. This is talking about an eved kinami to an akum, to an idolater, or to chutz la'aretz. What's talacha? Yatzacherus. The eved ultimately goes free. The eved goes free. Now we'll say now this is a knas. This is a penalty. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says yatzacherus. Because if you sell your Eved Kanani to a Gentile or to Chutz Laretz, we go ahead and we kness him. We penalize him. Why? Because the assumption is that if you're selling the Eved to a Gentile master, the Eved will not have the ability to perform mitzvos. And if you're selling your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, this is talking about even a Jewish servant, then ultimately, again, that Eved will lose out on the opportunity of living in Eretz Yisrael. So either way, you sell your Eved to a non-Jewish master, you sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, the halacha is that the Eved is Yatza L'cheiros. So the Gemara says, listen to this. So now remember, this is Rav Anan talking. So he says, Chada Hadri Zvini, V'chada Lo Hadri Zvini. So in one of these cases, the sale works, right? The sale works, and the money does not go back. In one of these cases, the sale itself never works, and therefore, again, the money goes back, right? They both say, one case, Hadri Zvini means the money goes back. One case, the money doesn't go back. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Chada Hadri Zmini, Michad Mehanach Tarti Shams Medimar Shmuel, Shamekach Batal, the sale is void, Vahamos Chosrin. Remember, if the sale is void, then the money goes back to the purchaser. The Gemara says, O Mehach Tamocher Sadeh Beshnas Ayovel, Atzma, O Mehach Tamocher, Vichado Lo Hadri Zmini, El Halokech Mafsit Hamos. And it will say, in one of these cases, the sale works, albeit for a small amount of time, and therefore, again, the purchaser loses his money. But Rav Anan says, but I don't know which is which. So Rav Anan just now quoted two cases in the name of Shmuel. One case is where you sell property, sell real estate during the Yovel year. Second case is where you sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz or to an Akum. Right, so Rav Anan said, I know that in one of these cases, the sale is void, and therefore money is returned to the purchaser. And in the second, and in another case, the sale is valid, and therefore again, the money is not returned to the purchaser. But I don't remember which is which. I'm Rav Yosef. Next, Rav Yosef says we could figure this out. So what does it say? That if you sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz or to an Akum, in this case it's Chutz La'aretz, what's the halacha? The Eved goes free, but the second master has to give the Eved a get shichur, a document of emancipation. The Rabbos say, now because if the second master has to give the Eved a document of emancipation, what does that tell you? that the sale was valid, right? That the second owner became the owner. Therefore, again, Shmamina, midikarile l'sheni rabo, since the second one is called his master and has the right to get shichrur, ama lo hadri zvini. Therefore, Bosai, what do you see? You see that halacha l'maisa, in the case of the Eved, the sale is valid. Therefore, the money is not returned. Yet, ultimately, again, the second master is penalized and has to set the Eved free. Therefore, again, that must mean that what? That the other case, by Yovel, Shmuel would hold the halacha l'maisa. The sale itself is fundamentally void, and therefore any money that exchanged hands is automatically returned to the purchaser. Therefore, Shmuel says over here by Yovel that the transaction doesn't work. It means literally the sale is invalid, and therefore the money goes back to the purchaser. Top of Lamed, Ravanan, Braisa lo Shmuelay. And Ravanan obviously did not have this Braisa, right? The Braisa that we just quoted over here, Ravanan clearly did not have that, otherwise he would not have had his question. So one second, how do you know that Shmuel holds by Yovel, that ultimately, again, the field is not sold at all, and the money is returned? Maybe Dilma Eina Mechura Uma'os Matana. It will say, maybe Shmuel will say like this, if I go ahead and I sell a piece of real estate during the Yovel year, right, I sell to Reuven, Reuven gives me $10,000, so what happens? The field is not sold, but maybe we view the money that Reuven gave me as a matana, as a gift. You say, where do we find precedent for that? Oh, midi dahavi amekadesh achoso. I will say, this is no different than the good old case of a man who betroths his sister. Right? What does this mean? Ditmar, I will say, this is an incredible case. Hamekadesh achoso. If somebody ultimately, again, is mekadesh his daughter. I'm sorry, mekadesh his sister. Right? So what happens? Rav amar ma'os chozrin. So Rav said, ultimately, again, the money goes back. Right, so both say, so obviously, we're talking about a situation over here where Kiddushin cannot take place. You cannot be Mekadesh your sister. Everyone agrees to that. So the Shaila now is, I know that the Kiddushin is void. What's the fundamental issue? The fundamental issue is, what's the status of the money? So Rav Amar Ma'os Chosrin. Rav says, the money is returned to the sister. Right, the money is returned to the sister. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says Maos Matana. Shmuel says no. That at the end of the day, we assume every person knows that you cannot be Mekadesh your sister, and therefore the Kesef Kiddushin that he gave her is in fact a gift. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that in certain circumstances of impossible transactions, even if the transaction is fundamentally void, the money isn't necessarily returned. Sometimes we just simply reclassify the money from transactional monies to gift monies. Maybe Shmuel says the same thing over here, right? If I go and I sell my field during the Yovel year, and Reuven gives me $10,000, so at the end of the day, again, instead of, okay, everybody, Shmuel will say the transaction is void, but maybe that money is just viewed as a matana, beautiful matana. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. So fine. So therefore, again, I will say, therefore, the Gemara just says there's not necessarily a raya about how Shmuel holds. So the Gemara jumps for just a second. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. So Abayi said to Rav Yosef as follows. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. My chazis de kansin lelokeach, ne kansin lemocher. Well, so let's jump now back to the case of Eved. I own an Eved. I sell my Eved ultimately. I live in Eretz Yisrael. I sell my Eved to Chutz Laretz, right? I sell him to Reuven, who lives in Chutz Laretz. So what's the halacha? What did Shmuel paskin? The slave goes free. First of all, the transaction works. The sale works. So I get to keep the sale money. But ultimately, again, the second master, Reuven, has to ready to get shichur, and the Eved goes free. So we'll say, interestingly enough, who's being penalized over here? Who's being penalized? The buyer, right? The buyer is being penalized. So ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Why is it that the buyer is penalized? Why wouldn't we go ahead and penalize the seller, right? At the end of the day, it was a seller who sold the Eved ultimately to Chotzarts. Amrelei, so let's listen to this line. Amrelei, lav achbira ganav ela chura ganav. Because it's not the mouse that steals the food. It's the hole in the wall that steals the food. I say, what does that mean? That at the end of the day, well, the Gemara says, Ilav Achbera, right? The assumption over here is just to paint the proper image. The mouse is taking food and hiding it in the hole. So the Gemara says that it's not the mouse that's stealing, but rather, again, it's the hole that's stealing. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, Amrlei Lav Achbera, sorry, Ilav Achbera, Chura Menale. So ultimately, again, were it not for the mouse, then what role would the hole in the wall play? To which the Gemara says, Mistabra, Hecha de Isal Isura Kansi. So it says, just to understand the metaphor, so the Gemara understands over here that the Eretz Yisrael seller, he's the mouse. He's the mouse. The Chutz La'aretz buyer, he's the hole in the wall. So the idea is that the seller has nothing to do unless, of course, again, he has a willing buyer. Tushma says that's fine, but the buyer ultimately, again, has nothing to do unless what? Unless, again, there is a seller. Tushma says, you're right, leave aside the mouse and the hole, but rather, Mistabra, Hecha de Isir li Isura Kansinan. Rather, again, I will say, essentially, we level the Knas wherever the Isir is situated. So right now, the Isir is situated, Halacha L'maisa, with the purchaser in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore, again, he gets the Knas. And Rabbi say, this is how we paskin in both cases. In the case of Eved, if you sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, the transaction works, which means that the seller need not refund the monies, but ultimately, again, the purchaser is knast, he is penalized, the Eved goes free and requires a get shichrur. In the case of real estate transactions during Yovel, we paskin like Shmuel. Namely, the transaction itself is null and void, and because it is void, therefore, all monies are returned to the purchaser. Good. Let's go weiter. Haisa Shnashi Daf. I'm supposed to remember again, the Mishnah said that when you purchase land, so the purchaser has a right to 2 years. 2 years before the seller is permitted to exercise his redemption rights. So the Mishnah gave different examples that if you went ahead, for example, and you plowed the field but never planted, or left the field fallow, that's your problem. You can't claim, well, I want it for more time so I can have time for farming. To which the Gemara says, Hashta hovra olalo nara miboy. To which the Gemara says, if I left the field fallow for 2 years, if that counts as my time, then why does the Mishnah also have to say, even if I plowed it but didn't seed it? In other words, once you tell me that if I left the field fallow, that still counts as my 2 years of ownership, you don't have to tell me about cases where he plowed but didn't seed. To which the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Nor itzrich, the case of where the purchaser plowed the field but didn't plant anything. The reason why it's necessary for the Mishnah to teach that still counts as years of ownership is necessary as well. It's tzrich le, sagadai tchamina, because I would have thought, aminon le, hav le dame, v'leisik. I might have thought like this, that maybe in a case where, let's say, Reuven the purchaser plowed the field but never planted anything, so maybe he should be able to reclaim the cost of plowing it. He provided a service to the land, he bettered the land, maybe therefore he should be able to recapture some of the cost. Kamashal, not like that. Kamashal, then halacha lamaisa, when calculating the repurchase amount, it's simply based on purchase price, and we don't take into account any quote unquote improvement he may have done by plowing the field. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Machra. So let's remember again, Rabbi Eliezer said that if I sold the field before Rosh Hashanah and the field was filled with produce, I cannot expect that back when I repurchase it. Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says, Tanya Blazer Omer, Minayim Shem Machra Lo Lifnei Rosh Hashanah Melei Peiros, Shelo Yomar Lo Hanoch Lifonai Kider Sheinachti Lifonecha. How do I know that if I sold Reuven a field before Rosh Hashanah and the field was mamish bursting with produce before Rosh Hashanah, then I cannot go ahead and tell him, you need to give me back a field like it was at the time that I gave you? To which Gemara says, Tamu Lomar, Bemispar Shnei Tivosi Machra Lecha. Pamim Shadam Ochel Shalosh Tvuos Vishteshan. Rabbi said the Torah goes out of its way to use a different type of lashon. Bemispar Shnei Tvuos. Literally, again, whatever number you of harvest you can get during those 2 years, that is the property of the purchaser. And sometimes, again, it can even be that you'll have 3 years worth of crops within those 2 years of ownership, and ultimately, again, That is the right of the seller. That is the right of the purchaser, excuse me. Good. Says the Mishnah. Machra l'risha. What's another interesting case? Machra l'risha mamonis. Well, see, here's the case. I have a stei achuza. I have ancestral land. I'm selling it to Reuven. I sell it to Reuven for a mana. A mana. We'll call it $1,000. Umachra l'risha l'shinu ma'asayim. And then what happens? Reuven sells it to Shimon for $2,000. I want to repurchase my after 2 years, I want to repurchase my stei achuza. So we know again what's the shaila going to be. So how am I calculating the buyback amount? Right? Is the buyback amount based on the $1,000 I sold it to Reuven, or is it going to be based on the $2,000 and now Reuven sold it to Shimon? Shimon is the current owner. So what's the halacha? Einu mechashev ela im arishon. The halacha is when calculating the buyback amount, I buy it back at the lower price that I sold it to the first one, that I sold it to Reuven for. Shene emar liish asher machar lo. Good. Machar l'rishon b'masayim u'machar rishon l'sheni b'mara. Let's listen to this case. Let's say I went ahead and I sold the field to Reuven for $2,000. And then Reuven went and sold it to Shimon, who now owns it, for $1,000. I now want to buy back my land. What's the halacha? In this case, I negotiate the buyback amount with the second guy, right? With the current holder, with Shimon. Shene emar v'chishav es shnei mimkaro v'heishiv es saodef li'ish asher machalo li'ish asher b'socho. We'll say, as a result of dashing that last pasuk, ultimately we understand it to mean who? Li'ish asher b'socho. Ultimately, again, what does it mean? Li'ish asher machalo, to the man to whom it was sold, to the man who currently holds it. So we'll say, you see what's happening over here? Essentially, I'm sorry? Well, it's not a contradiction. What we're saying over here is it's two different limudim that essentially allow for the owner to buy back his land at the most advantageous price. That's what it is. So it's not a contradiction. It's just, if you notice, you're going to both say, the Gemara goes out and darshins two parts of the same pasuk. Li'ish asher machar lo tells me that if the first purchaser is the one who purchased at a lower price, that's who I negotiate with. Li'ish asher b'socho, the lashon was li'ish asher machar lo. We can also darshan to mean what? The person who currently holds it. That would be the second buyer. So when do we darshan it different ways? Everything depends on with whom I can negotiate the most favorable terms. So therefore, again, I will say, essentially, understand what's happening over here. The system is set up to allow people to buy back ancestral land with the greatest amount of ease. Our goal is we want people holding on to their stei achuza. That's what we want. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, whatever we can do to make it easier for them, that's what we will do. Lo yimkar barachok v'igol b'kar. So this is actually quite amazing. Now, talking about when are you eligible to buy back, or it's really saying something different, which funds are eligible to be used for stei achuza buyback. So lo yimkar barachok v'igol b'kar. So we'll say you should not go ahead and sell a faraway field in order to go ahead and repurchase or redeem a closer field. Similarly, again, you can't sell off a bad field in order to redeem a good field. Lo yilava v'yigo, and furthermore, you can't borrow money in order to redeem a stei achuza. V'lo yigal achatzon. Furthermore, again, you should not go ahead. You also can't redeem in pieces. U'behekdish mutar b'kulan. But also, when it comes to consecrated property, all of these things are mutar. Zechomer behedyot mi behekdish, and this represents a chumra in hedyot, meaning in non-hekdish than hekdish. So also, we're going to see what all of these cases mean in the Gemara. What I will just point out to is really something quite fascinating, which is essentially what we're going to see is the Mishnah says we've always thought in terms of redemption of stei achuza, there's no like, there are no qualifications on what you could redeem with. So now the Mishnah tells you, yes, there are. Yes, there are. And in fact, we're going to see that if you had funds available at the time that you sold your stei achuza, you cannot use those funds to redeem stei achuza. All of this is done, I will say, in order to go ahead and make the sale of stei achuza a last resort. We don't want people selling off their ancestral land. And therefore, again, The only time you would do it is mamish if you're desperate. That's why if you had anything else at your disposal, we find out afterwards, you can't use that to redeem your stechus. We'll see in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Machra l'vishom amana, machra l'vishom l'shem ha-masayim. So we'll see, now we're going back over the Braisa. So again, I sold to Reuven for 1,000, and Reuven sells to Shimon for 2,000. Minayin shen mechashiv elam arishon. How do I know that when I buy back the property, I negotiate with Reuven for 1,000? Tan Rabbanan le'ish asher machar lo. Machra l'vishom ha-masayim, machra l'vishom l'shem ha-masayim. What happens if I sold to Reuven for 2,000, and Reuven then sold to Shimon for 1,000? Shimonayin shen how do I know that when I negotiate with Shimon for the 1,000? Tamalomar leish asher bis leish asher bisocho. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Dov. Rebbe Yehuda Omer. Machalo b'mana. Listen to this. We'll say. Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Dov. Rebbe Yehuda says as follows: if I sold Reuven the field for $1,000, vishpicha va'amda amasayim, and then the field appreciates. No sale happened. Real estate appreciated, so now the field is worth 2,000. How do I know that even though the field is worth 2,000, I only negotiate the buyback based on the 1,000? Ultimately, again, he will go ahead and give back the remainder. Ha'odef shebiyado. That is the remainder that is in his hands, i.e. that remainder is calculated based on the time of the sale, and ultimately, again, not and nothing to do with any inherent appreciation in the property. I will say, but conversely, what happens if I sold the Reuven in the field for $1,000? And then what happens? Now it depreciated, and it's only worth 500. I don't know that when I negotiate the buyback, I do it based on the depreciated amount. Sheneemar veheishiv es ha'odef. Ha'odef shebekarko. He will return that which is left over, in the inherent value of the land. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so this, at first glance, this Rabbi Dostai seems to be saying the same thing as the Braisa, as Rebbe. They both seem to be saying that what? When there is a change in value, the buyback amount ultimately, again, is negotiated based on the lower of the values. But we'll say, but technically speaking, they're referring to a little bit of different dynamics. In Rebbe's case, we're dealing with two purchasers. I sold to Reuven for X, and Reuven sells to Shimon for Y. When I now come to redeem that field from the hands of Shimon, so which price do I use? The lower of the two. Rebbe Dostaising something a little bit different. There's only one purchaser. I sold the field to Reuven. The field appreciated or depreciated. If the field appreciated, then what? I use the purchase price, right? If the field depreciated, then I use the depreciation amount. Says the Gemara Ma'a Ben Ev. So I say, ostensibly, they both seem to be saying the same thing. But if we were saying there must be an afkamina, what's an afkamina? De'iyaker v'zil v'iyaker. Ultimately, they both say, what do we do in a case where halacha l'maisa, the price went up, the price went down, and the price went back up? It could be that according to Rabbi Dostoy, ultimately, once there was a dip in price, we would allow you to redeem at the lower price, whereas according to Rebbe, we would not. So, ask the Gemara, how do you know? I understand that the pasuk can be interpreted in two ways. And you're interpreting the pasuk, therefore, to teach me that whenever there's a change in value, we always allow you to buy back your steachuza in a more kuladika fashion, using the, we'll call it more lenient, using the lesser amount. How do you know that? How do you know that the drasha is not telling me that when it comes to redemption of steachuza, ultimately I have to use the more machmir amount, right? The higher amount. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. From Eved Ivri. Right? And we're going to see by Eved Ivri, look at Rashi, Ksiv Hacha. Well, actually, don't look. And we'll say, how do I know that ultimately, again, by Eved Ivri, there's a din of Kula, the Sanya Nimkar bin Mana, Vishbiach Vamadam Asayim. Both say, if let's say this, I sold myself as an Eved Ivri for a mana. I sold myself for a mana. And then what happens, Baruch Hashem, I appreciate. And now I sold myself for $100, I'm now worth $1,000. So that sounds wonderful, except what? I'm interested in buying myself out of servitude. What's talachim? How do I know that when calculating my buyout amount, We use the original purchase price and not my appreciated value. Shenemar mikasef miknaso. What happens on the flip side? If let's say I sold myself for 200 and now Nebuch, I depreciated and I'm only worth 100. How do I know that I used the depreciated amount? Calculate my buyout package. So we'll say ultimately again, in accordance with the number of years you have left. So we see that when it comes to the buyout of an Eved Ivri, we always use the more makel valuation. Now the Gemara says we have Gzer Shav of Geula Geula from Steachuza to Eved Ivri. Just like Eved Ivri uses the more makel amount, so to what? By Steachuza will also use the more makel amount. Aye, so says the Gemara, only Eved Ivri and Nimkar Lo Veikochavim Shenigal V'Yadu Ala Yona Nimkar Li Yisrael Minayin. I both say now, I only know that this is true by an Eved Ivri who is sold to a Gentile, to an Akum. There I could understand, maybe we want to be makel in that case because we want to do anything and everything to allow the Eved Ivri to buy himself out of his servitude. How do I know that if an Eved Ivri is sold to another Jew, that will still use the more makel valuation to allow for the buyout option? Tamar lomar, schir l'schir, schir, excuse me, schir, schir l'gzer shava. Ultimately, going to both say, because we make a schir, schir, this is the gzer shava with an Eved Ivri. It says schir by an Eved Ivri sold to an Akum. It says schir to by an Eved Ivri sold to a Jew. Just like an Eved Ivri sold to an Akum. We use the lower valuation to calculate out the buyout option. So to an Eved Ivri sold to a Jew, we'll use the slower amount to calculate the buyout option. And then I'll both say, after you have schir, schir, step after that is what? Geula, geula. It says geula by Eved Ivri. It says geula by Steachuza. Just like by Eved Ivri, we use the lesser amount to calculate the buyout option. So too by Steachuza, we will use the lesser amount to calculate the buyback option. Amud Beis. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, this is great. Harini ki ben Azai b'shukei Teveria. Ben Azai says, today I feel so good. Like Ben Azai when he stood in the shuk of Teveria. I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Harini mishubach b'mkom isha ani darshan ubaki ke Ben Azai shaya mishabach b'shuk ke Teveria ke disayim b'vachoros b'artishi Ben Azai omer kochach mi'sofa klivas shom. Let's listen to this. Ben Azai, when he was having a very good day, would go out to the marketplace in Teveria and he would say, bring it on. Right, bring it on. It's not a direct quote, but you understand, right? Right, bring it on. Meaning, whatever you got, I'm ready. Right, and he invited all the Menachem to come and ask him as well. Say, so like this is the expression when you're having a good when you're on, you are having a Ben Azai in the shuk of Teveria kind of day. Right, I am on. So Abaye says, I feel on today. I'm like Ben Azai in the shuk of Teveria. I'm going to say, so first of all, just be prepared. If you're going to talk like that, right? So the rabbis are going to bring it, right? So here's Abaye. So Abaye says this, and what happens? I'm going to say, Rabban Abaye. So one of the rabbanim came along, and they said as follows. So we'll say, so they asked this question about Eved Ivri. So I understand Eved Ivri, I will say, has these psukim which indicate to me that when there's a change in value, we only assess the Eved at one of those values. Now, we've dashed in the psukim to teach us that when it comes to an Eved Ivri, we assess his value at the lower of the two values. Either, again, purchase price, depreciated value, whichever is less. Says to me, how do you know that's how to dash in the psukim? Maybe the halacha is that in fact we assess him at the higher value. I mean, how do you know how to darshan it l'kula and not l'chumra? To which the Gemara says, So the Abayas, I'll tell you why. Because the Torah already has shown its kula, so to speak, towards Eved Ivri. Now what it really means is the Torah has already shown its compassion towards the Eved Ivri. How so? The Sanya, ki tov lo imach. The Pasuk says, this is speaking to the owner of the Eved Ivri. You must make sure that it is good for the Eved Ivri with you. The Eved Ivri has to have a good life with you, Jewish master. What does that mean? Imcha b'maychol, imcha b'mishta. He has to be with you with eating and with you with drinking. What does that mean? Shalotei ochel pasin. Shalotei ata ochel pasin. Kevu ochel pas kibar. It can't be that you're eating fine flour bread, and your Eved is eating coarse bread. Ata shosi yayin yashan v'shosi yayin chadash. You're drinking good aged wine, and you're giving the eved some malaga. Ata yoshiv agabi muchin v'yoshin agabi karka. You're sleeping, right? You're sleeping on a nice, what do they call those? Sleep comfort numbers, right? The memory foam. You're sleeping on the memory foam bed, and your eved is sleeping on the ground. So we'll say, so essentially, imchay tov means whatever you have, the eved has to have it also. Mikan Amr, from here, Chazal said, Hakona eved ivri kikona adon yatzmo. And we'll say, you know, when you purchase an eved, you're really purchasing a master, because we'll say it's mamas like having a house guest. Right, so you have to treat like royalty. So Abaye says, you see that what? You see that from the fact that halacha l'maisa, the Torah goes out of its way to take such good care of the Eved, that gives us the license to darshan the psukim in a more kuladika fashion, to teach us that when valuating or when creating the value of his buyout option, we use the lesser of the two numbers. To which the Gemara says, Adarabba. No, I could say just the opposite. Nachmir alei mit Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Maybe we should be machmir to Eved Ivri, because Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Damar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Also, listen to this. Bo ure'e. So also, what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is going to say is, listen, you only become an Eved Ivri if you've done a lot of stuff wrong in life. Right? So watch this. Bo ure'e kamakasha avkashal shriyas. See how incredibly destructive Afkashal Shvius means like the dust of the Shemitah year is. Now, this refers to, look at Rashi. Afkashal Shvius, Hasocher bepero Shvius, Lohachi karla avak, She'enzu ikr mitzvasa shal iser Shvius. So we'll say, see how powerful even tangential or secondary prohibitions related to Shemitah. Remember again, the primary prohibition on Shemitah is to work the land. A secondary prohibition is engaging in commerce with Shemitah produce. So comes along Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina and says, see how destructive or see how powerful prohibitions related to Shemitah are. That even a secondary prohibition, like doing business with Shemitah commerce, look what happens. Adam no se v'nose imperu shvius, v'sof mocher es metaltov. Both say, if a person goes ahead and does business with Shemitah produce, he's going to become so impoverished that he's going to end up selling off his metaltlin, his movable possession. Shnei Amar, Bishnas Hayobal Tashuvu Ish Alachuz Aso Ksiv, V'chisimkaru Mimkar LaAmisecha, O Kano Miyad Amisecha, Dover Hanikna Miyad Liyad. So both of the juxtaposition ultimately of the Pesukim teaches me that Halacha LaMaisa, what happens right after it discusses, about Yovel, right, which also over here was falling on the heels of a Shemitah, ultimately, it does a davar nikna miyad liyad. So ultimately, again, if you end up doing business with Shemitah produce, you're going to end up selling off your metaltelin. Lo here, Gish, if you did not heed, if you did not correct your ways, the sof mocher es adosof, the person will end up going ahead and selling his field, shenemar, the ord noting over here are the juxtaposition of the psukim. If your brother becomes impoverished and he ends up selling off his field, lo basa the other, if he still didn't do tshuva for your erroneous deeds, lusof mocha is beso, you end up selling your home. Shenemar the ish kim krabes moshav erchoma, maishna hasam de kaamar lo hirgish, u maishna achad de kaamar lo basa the other. We'll say, why is it that ultimately again the Gemara changes the lashon of lo hirgish, right? He didn't feel that he was doing something wrong. To lo basal yado, kid Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, Boses, remember again, this is just a fascinating dashing of the juxtaposition of psukim. The Gemara understands all of this to be a progression. A progression. So what happened? Everything started off with a relatively minor infraction of a guy doing business with Shemitah produce. But what happened? He never corrected his ways. And when you don't correct your ways, things have a way of snowballing. And as they snowball, the scope of the destructiveness becomes even more acutely felt. So in the beginning, you're going to sell off your metaltelin. You still didn't correct your ways, you're going to sell off your bias. So the Gemara just notes the change in the wording over here between lo hirgish and lo basal yado. To which the Gemara says, so kid Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, second wide line, kevan sha'avar adam avera v'shanabo hutralov. You know, both say when a person commits an avera, and then he does it a second time, it becomes permitted. The aver becomes permitted. Rather, no. What it means is, it becomes like it's permitted. Unfortunately, we know that when you reinforce negative behavior, it even ceases to be negative anymore. It becomes more like second nature. Lo bas liyado. If he still didn't repent, l'sof shalava berevis, he'll end up having to borrow money with interest. Shene emar, kiyamuch achicha, atikra atikach nito neshech v'tarbis. Lo bas liyado, if he still doesn't repent, ad shemocher es bito, he'll end up selling his daughter. Shene emar, v'chiyim kor ish es bito li'ama. Rabosin, this is actually amazing. V'af agav debito b'hai in your lesson. Now the truth is, the selling of one's daughter is naturally not part of the progression of these psukim. Jose, this is a wild statement. Necha, it's not wild, meaning it's an incredible statement. Necha le'inish de Lisbon barte v'lo lezif beribsa. It is better to sell your daughter, right, than to go ahead and borrow with interest, right? Why is that? De ilu hasam migra v'azla. Because the good news is, if you sell your daughter, right, so we'll say, so the more she works, the less the amount for the buyout options. In other words, that ultimately, again, you sell her, and obviously the sell is for a certain duration until she becomes a nara. So Allah said, the more she works, the easier it is to buy her out, because again, that amount goes down. When it comes to interest, Kamosva v'azla, the amount that you owe ultimately grows over time. So therefore, a person would sooner sell their daughter in order to alleviate their financial woes than to borrow with interest. Lo basali, although if you still didn't correct your ways, l'sof shemocha esatzmo, you will come to go ahead and sell yourself. Shene emar ki yamuch achich imach v'nimkar loch. Lo lecha ela leger. Not only that, he won't even end up selling himself to you, but to the ger. Shene emar leger. V'lo leger tzedek. And by the way, ger doesn't here mean a Jewish convert. Ela leger toshav. But rather it means to a resident alien. Shene emar leger toshav mishpachas ger. Ze ha'oved kochavim. This is the first one, idolater. Kishu omer o le'eker mishpachas ger. Ze ha'nimkar v'na'asa mishar ha'oved kochavim atzma. And it gets so bad that you even end up getting sold to who? To the actual idolatry itself, as a servant to the idolatry. So we'll say, so remember again what's happening over here. So Gemara says, Amalei, ahadrekra. So we'll say, I'm sorry, before we get that. So remember again, this whole time we were discussing the idea that we are going to darshan the psukim of Eved Ivri to be in a more makel fashion, to teach me that what? That halacha lemaisa, if there is some type of change in the Eved Ivri's valuation, we'll calculate the buyout option based on the lower amount. Why? Because Abai wanted to suggest, because halacha lemaisa, we see that the Torah likes the Eved Ivri and ultimately goes and tells the master, you have to treat the Eved Ivri with incredible dignity and take care of him. Now the Gemara is suggesting, oh, by the way, becoming an Eved Ivri is the result of what? Is the result of what? A long line of life transgressions. So maybe we should give it to him, right? Why would you make it easy? Maybe you should give him another shtach. Make it, if he appreciates or some of the value changes, calculate his buyout option based on what? Based on the higher amount. Amar Lei, so he responded back to him. Ha hadre kra. Ultimately, and that's true, but the pasuk goes back to teach us that we still ki tov lo imach. Pasuk, once again, after all this, the Pasuk still says, you have to take good care of the Eved Ivri. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has compassion on the Eved Ivri tells you that halacha lemaisa, even though he did all this bad stuff that ultimately resulted in his being sold as an Eved Ivri, you still have to take care of him. Once I'm being told biblically that I have to take care of him, that indicates to me that when structuring his buyout option, we use the lower amount. The Tanya de Rabbi Yishmael, and ultimately, the entire Rabbi Yishmael will say, Hoil v'halachu macha atzal avodos kochavim, Itchi even achar hanofel. The Tanya Rishol will say, once a person sells himself, even to idolatry, literally again, we throw the boulder down the well after the person who has fallen. Strong lashon. Otherwise, I will say, at the end of the day, you got yourself into this mess, and if you got yourself into this mess, ultimately again, we have no rachmanas on you. We have rachmanas on messes that people find themselves in, because they couldn't avoid it. But when someone makes bad decisions in life, throw the boulder after the person who fall. Talmud Lomar, Geulas Olam Tielo Biovel Yetze. Ema Geula Tielo Tilo Litma Ba'ovei Kochavim. Uli Olam Le'in Pidyon Nachmir. But I will say, but again, even though you might think that we should throw the boulder down after him, nevertheless, again, Geulas Olam Tielo, the Torah provides for his redemption. So you see that even when people make big mistakes in life, we don't throw the boulder down after them, and we allow them ultimately again to be redeemed. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe that means the Lolitma Ba'ovik Ochavim, or the Olam Le'inyan Pidyonon Nachmir. Some people say maybe what it means is like this, that we'll still welcome him back into the community, and if possible, we'll try to redeem him ultimately again from Ovdei Kochavim. But who says that it means that we're Mekel when it comes to the buyout amount? Two different psukim. One pasuk says im od rabos bashanim. If there are literally, and I will say the way the Gemara is explaining this is, if there are still rabos, larger years, or ma'at nishar bashanim, or smaller amounts of years left. So the Gemara says v'chi yeshanim rubos v'yeshanim u'atos. A year is a year is a year. What do you mean, Rabin Bashanos Mu'atim Shas? What the Gemara is saying, the verbiage makes it sound like there are larger years or smaller years. But that's not true. A year is a year. Ella, the Gemara says, it teaches us a drasha. Nisrabe Kaspo, if the Eved appreciated, Mikesef Miknaso. It teaches me that what? That Allah Lamaisa, we value his buyout option based on the purchase amount. Nisma'it Kaspo, if halacha lemaisa again he depreciated, kifishanav, we look ultimately again at the number of years left. Ve'ema heichad, but maybe not. Maybe ve'ema. So we'll say, so again, teaching us the same drasha. We calculate the buyout option in a way that is most advantageous to the eved. I ve'ema heichad the avatarti upayishi arba leisiv le'arba mikasef miknaso. Maybe it means like this. Maybe we'll say, let's say again, he's a slave for 6 years. Let's say he worked for two and there's four left. So ultimately, again, so that his buyout option is from based on the 4 years, based on the purchase price. But I will say, if he worked four and there are two left, ultimately, again, let him go ahead and pay the two remaining amounts in accordance with the 2 years left. If that's the case, the pasuk could have just said Rabbo Shonim, my Bashanim. Why does it have to say Bashanim? Rather, it teaches me like this: Nisrabe Kasva Bashanim, because ultimately, if he appreciated over the time that he has worked, Mikesef Miknaso, we value his buyout option based on the purchase price. Nismait Kasva Bashanim, if he depreciated Kafishanim, then we look at his value based on the current value now, the depreciated value, and the amount of years left. Amar Rav Yosef Tarshinu Rav Nachman Lahani Kroy Kisinai. Rav Yosef said, Rav Nachman, you darshened these psukim like a Sinai. Vosai Sinai, remember, is someone with a voluminous amount of knowledge. So ultimately, again, Rav Yosef, right? Rav Yosef was giving Rav Nachman the highest compliment. You darshan these psukim. Vosai, we'll stop over here for today. But again, we end off with a very important conclusion, which is, it now appears that Ladivrei Hakol, Halacha Lamaisa, when calculating out the buyout option for the Eved Ivri, we do anything and everything in our power to arrive at the lowest possible number for buyout. So whichever is the lower of the two, either the actual purchase price or the depreciated amount, those will ultimately be the options by which the Eved Ivri is able to buy himself out of Avdus. Similarly, because Kitov Lo Imach, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Adon, you have to treat the Eved like a peer, more than, right, than a servant. Or I will say, even according to the opinion that takes the approach that you only become an Eved Ivri after a series of really bad mistakes, we don't throw the boulder down after the person who has fallen. And therefore, everyone agrees, halacha l'maisa, we take the lower of the two amounts and use that to calculate the buyout amount.